What is going on, everybody? It's another Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer. Hope everybody's doing well in this first full week of April. That's right, just a couple of short weeks away from my birthday, which there'll be a show on that night because it will be my birthday. The following week, I don't know because I'll be off for a few days, but we will see. We've got a great show for you tonight. And a reason why I'm playing that song in just a second, but coming up in 20 minutes, Shawnee Adelson, she is the executive director of the Colorado Brewers Guild. She'll join me on the program. She was on, it's been probably 4 or 5 years since we've had Shawnee on. The Guild just coming off their collaboration fest, but now Colorado Pint Day just around the corner. That's coming up in just about 20 minutes from now. Now, Roxanne from The Police, on this date in 1978, The Police released this as the first single from their debut album, Outlandos de Amor, a song written from the point of view of a man who falls in love with a prostitute. And apparently the title came from the name of the character in the play Cyrano de Bergerac, which Sting saw on an old poster, which was hanging in a hotel foyer in Paris, where the group had been staying. The song failed to chart, but when it was re-released in 1979, it peaked at number 12 on the UK singles chart. So there you go. Roxanne, released on this date back on April the 7th of 1978. Pretty, pretty cool. And I did get a chance to see Sting in concert a few times, never with The Police, but I have seen Sting. And he is fantastic still to this day. That is a show you absolutely do not want to miss. You will not be disappointed with how great Sting is and his band. A lot of fun. All right, let's dive into some news. Jersey Cyclone celebrating 5 years of craft beer. Pretty cool. So they're having a five-year anniversary party. That is the first week of May, May 3rd, 4th, and 5th. There'll be live music throughout the weekend, a special limited bottle release, along with great beers throughout the weekend. And as they say, thanks to everyone who has supported us along the way. Cheers to 5 years of brewing and supplying our craft beer to such a wonderful community of beer friends and enthusiasts. Hopefully I can make it over there for that five-year anniversary. Jersey Cyclone does a great job right over in Somerset. And if you want to stop by there, right off of 287, heading, I guess it's heading south, right? No, it's heading, well, yeah, no, it would be 287 south, exit 10 for Somerset. And it's literally, you come off the exit, stay to your right, first light, you get, make a right, you go up the road, less than a minute, there's an industrial complex, you pull in there. And about halfway in is Jersey Cyclone Brewing. Great place. And they make some really, really good stuff in a nice little tap room as well. This is interesting. Hermit Thrush, today is their last day of regular operations. Or actually, they're probably closed by now at this point. But Brattleboro, Vermont-based Hermit Thrush Brewing is closing at the end of this month after nearly a decade. Christophe Gagné and Avery Schwenk founded the brewery back in 2014. They focused on sour beers made with locally sourced ingredients. The craft brewery announcing the news last week of its impending closure on social media, citing consumer price demands and evolving market dynamics. Again, as I said, the last day of their regular operations was today. It'll remain open for online order pickup only through April the 28th. It's a shame. I liked some of Hermit Thrush's stuff. I think I remember the first time I was exposed to them was probably at the Five Borough Craft Beer Fest a number of years ago, probably like 2017, something like that. Always liked their beers. Here's the thing. They focused specifically on sour beers. They made a couple of other things, but it was mostly sour stuff, right? Their price point was very high. Every time I saw their beer at maybe Nosvino in Westfield or other liquor stores or whatever, their single can was like $12 to $15 a can. You know, a four-pack was like $35, $40. You're not getting people to buy that kind of beer. I don't care how much they like sours. I don't care how much, you know, whatever. At the end of the day, if your price point is that high, it's going to be tough to move things forward. I don't think their distro was that extensive, probably just along from, you know, Vermont to maybe New York, New Jersey, maybe a little bit further south. But I am sure that, you know, distro service probably was not a big deal. And again, if you're not into sour beers, you're probably not going there. So ingredients, inflation, so many different variables, it's not surprising that after almost 10 years that they have decided to close. And it's sad. They made some great stuff, some really great stuff. Lost Barrel Brewing is having a spring beer fest on Saturday, April 27th. That's going to be taking place from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Along with Lost Barrel, a number of different breweries around the area will be there. Bear Chase Brewing, Ornery Beer Company, Adroit Theory, Mount Defiance Cider and Distillery, Lost Rhino, Winchester Brew Works, among others. They're going to have live music from, live music. It says 11 to 4 by DJ Heather. I'm assuming that somebody's spinning records. I'm going to assume that. And then 4 to 7 by Melissa Quinn Fox. She'll be performing. They'll have a bunch of vendors there. They'll have games throughout the day. The online Eventbrite entry ticket is $35. That ends on April 26th. At-the-door entry ticket is $40, sold all day. You get a glass souvenir cup and 7 taster drink tickets. This is not an unlimited drink event. So for $40, you get to sample 7 different beers. Again, they have private spaces. They have fire pits, all kinds of stuff. All you have to do is email them at events@lostbarrel.com. For more information there. So Lost Barrel Brewing doing a spring beer fest Saturday, April 27th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. And then North Coast Brewing announced last week an exceptional new barrel-aged beer. It is a collaboration between North Coast Brewing and Westward Whiskey. It's a limited offering of barrel-aged Old Rasputin. It's matured for over a year in Westward Whiskey single malt whiskey barrels. It's now ready to be savored by discerning palates. They started doing this this is over 2 years ago. They started to collaborate. They had malt barrels that were shipped from Portland, Oregon to Fort Bragg, California. They filled it up with Old Rasputin. So you're talking, you know, it's at least a year, if not more, that have been in these barrels here. And as they describe it, they're describing it as featuring robust whiskey notes complemented by hints of vanilla and dark chocolate aromas. The CEO of Westward Whiskey said, "We're thrilled to partner with North Coast on this exciting and limited offering. We share so many similarities with this iconic beer producer, our passion for the brewing process and love for stout beers, our commitment to innovation, and our love for bold and robust flavor. We believe this symbiotic approach shines through in this Old Rasputin release." That sounds delicious. I would love to taste that. And before we take a break, and we have more news and notes to get to, including a brewery cave found in Iowa. It's a cool story. We'll get to that in our next break. But the last couple of minutes here, I was over at Six Point at Brookfield Place the week before last, just trying the new place, the menu, the beers. Got to chat with Mike, the bartender, who is a listener of the show. And hello, Mike. Thanks for listening. Do appreciate it. And Rich, the general manager. We're trying to set something up there. We might do a live broadcast from there. It's literally 3 blocks from the studios here in Lower Manhattan. Great place. The food is spot on. My burger was a little salty, but, you know, I'm not nitpicking, but I am going to point out that it was a little salty. It was delicious, though. I ate the whole thing. And the beer's spot on. So they have 6 Point. Is most of the main taps. You've got a couple of Victory taps. You have 1 Southern Tier tap, and then they have all Southern Tier cocktails, or I should say spirits, that they can make mixed drinks off of. And obviously only selling New York wine because, again, it's a brew pub or a brewery. I don't know how it works in New York. But anyway, they have more options than they do in New Jersey. Besides that, the space is awesome. It is enormous. They're going to have an outdoor beer garden. They're talking they can fit over 200 people. It is literally across the street from the World Trade Center. It is a perfect spot if you're coming down to visit the World Trade Center, the 9/11 Museum, and all the other things around Lower Manhattan. Obviously, there are apartments nearby. They do get a nice crowd during happy hour. It's a fantastic place. Had a great time there. Very much enjoyed it. Took home a couple of 6 Point beers, which I'll be reviewing over the next couple of weeks. This is another cool thing. So you can get 12 packs and 6 packs of 6 Point beer. I think they have Southern Tier canned cocktails there as well. But you can also buy single beers of certain 6 Point things. I don't think they have everything available in singles, but they do have a whole bunch of stuff, which is great. Definitely check out the spot. It's right on the West Side Highway. It's at Brookfield Place. You can't miss it on the West Side Highway. It's, like I said, across the street from the World Trade Center. They do have a thing, if you pay ahead of time, there's a parking garage there. You could park your car because street parking is very limited, except on the weekends. And even on the weekends, there's barely a spot to be found around there. So you definitely want to pay for parking ahead of time or take public transportation. But it's a great spot. Very much enjoyed it. Enjoyed the conversation, Mike. Thank you so much for that. And he turned me on to another brewery in Chinatown that I have to check out as well. So, and a great conversation with Rich. Hopefully we can do something there very, very soon, because I'm really excited about it. It's a great spot. 6 Point at Brookfield Place. You will not be disappointed. Like I said, when we come back after a short break, we'll have more news and notes from around the beer world, including that beer cave in Iowa. This is the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. Welcome back to the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. You know, before I forget, today is, or well, it's almost over, today is National Beer Day. That's right. Every year on April 7th, they mark the day that the Cullen-Harrison Act came into force. It was signed into law by President Franklin Delano Roosevelt on March 22nd, 1933. It led to the 18th Amendment being repealed on December 5th. Of the same year of 1933 with the ratification of the 21st Amendment. April 6th, the day prior to National Beer Day, is known as New Beer's Eve. Wondered if you knew that. Anyway, prohibition in the United States, excuse me, on the national level, revolved around the 18th Amendment to the Constitution, generally banning intoxicating liquors. That was the Volstead Act, which defined intoxicating liquors as any liquor containing more than 0.5% alcohol, which is what they call near beer now. The law was amended by the Cullen-Harrison Act to raise the threshold enough to allow the production of mild beer, which would could contain up to 3.2% alcohol. We barely make those things today, although we've seen a lot of that now. But upon signing the legislation, Franklin Roosevelt made his famous remark saying, "I think this would be a good time for a beer." The law went into effect on April 7th of that year in states that had enacted their own law allowing such sales. People responded by gathering outside breweries the night before. That's why they call it New Beer's Eve. But the Cullen-Harrison Act was not the official end of prohibition in the United States. That happened on December 5th, 1933, when the 21st Amendment was ratified. As such, April 7th is a beer-specific holiday as opposed to Repeal Day, which is celebrated on December 5th. So there you go. The more you know. Coming up in 10 minutes, Shawnee Adelson, the executive director of the Colorado Brewers Guild, is going to join me on the program. The Guild just coming off their Collaboration Fest, Colorado Pint Day, just around the corner. We get into a lot of good stuff with Shawnee, and that is happening in just under 10 minutes from now. I teased it before the break. Let's talk about it. A beer cave apparently was found in Iowa. Iowa Main Street Investments acquired an old brewery in the small town of Cascade 2 years ago. This is from AmericanCraftBeer.com. And while renovating the building, they learned that it sat upon a beer cave that had been hidden away for more than a century. Now, underground beer caves were common at breweries before the advent of refrigeration. They had to store the beer at a certain temperature, and obviously underground was much cooler. So Iowa had no shortage of local breweries that had grown out of these 19th century operations that had these beer caves. Apparently no one has set foot in it for 100 years, and for it to be as, you know, so preserved, which is amazing, it's pretty wild. So there's apparently in Iowa City, there's an intricate network of 19th century subterranean passages that was historically employed for beer fermentation and transportation. Apparently Doug Alberhasky conducts guided tours of beer caves in the city. He explained how significant these subterranean spaces were in maintaining the ideal beer temperature during brewing. So, obviously, the beer needed to be kept at around 33, 34 degrees to keep them cold. So, they would create the, you know, they dig these caves so that you could, you know, store the beer. And again, when they built these things, no hydraulics, no pneumatics, all done by horsepower and human power. Think about that. Think about how far they had to go down in the ground and get this done using just horsepower and manpower. Pretty amazing. So in Virginia, apparently, there is some beer caves that were built. The James River Steam Brewery was founded by the son of the legendary Pennsylvania brewery, Yingling. And apparently, there are caves there as well. The brewery went down in flames in 1891, but the caves below the brewery, which could store and ferment up to 6,000 barrels of beer, survived the fire and can still be seen near the banks of the river in southeast Richmond of the James River. Pretty cool. I mean, this is cool stuff. We have to look up the guy from Iowa City that does these tours. I have to have him on the program. I think it's a fascinating story. the New York State Senate has advanced a bill that would allow the sale of alcohol in New York's dry towns. State Senator James Skoufis, the committee's Democratic chair, says the restaurants and potential bars and other on-premise establishments and liquor stores that would want to do business in these towns, they're implicitly looking at us to do business in these communities. Now, most of towns and cities in New York State are allowed to ban alcohol sales via referendums, but a few have ended their local prohibitions in recent years. There are only six remaining complete dry places in the state of New York. So they are trying to get this done, obviously because of prohibition. You're talking about stuff that's 100 years old, so we'll see what happens when we get an update on that. We will certainly bring it to you. Our good friends from Ross Brewing, they have announced their new releases for April, coming up on April the 12th, just in time for baseball season, which has already started. The return of All Rise, record breaker ale. It's 6.2% double dry hop New England IPA. Of course, it's a tribute to Aaron Judge. Also on the 12th, Kraken Bats will be back. The Cracker Jack Brown Ale at 5.5% ABV. A malty brown ale inspired by the baseball's favorite snack with added popcorn, caramel, and peanuts. On the 19th, you're going to have two releases. A House of Ross exclusive beer coming for you. That's a double dry hop New England IPA, Citra Galaxy, and Eclipse Hops. Also on the 19th, Girl Bye, a delicious double dry hop New England IPA with Eclipse, Galaxy, and Lemon Drop Hops. And then on the 26th, they are releasing their year 3 anniversary stout, their latest bourbon barrel aged stout, vanilla, sugar, caramel, hazelnut, and blackberries, clocking in at a whopping 15.5%. And their launch party are 7.3% double dry hop New England IPA brewed with Citra, Mosaic, and Pomegranate to commemorate our long-awaited opening. So all of those beers available at beerbroadcast.com. I'm trying to get down there on the 26th. I have a few things going on, but I'd like to get down there for the anniversary weekend because it happens to be also my birthday weekend. So we'll see what happens there. But kudos to Ross. They're putting out some great stuff. Eric Orlando, the Brewers Association, which is a not-for-profit trade association dedicated to small and independent American craft brewers, announced this year's industry awards. They've been doing this since 1987. And Eric Orlando, who has really helped out the New Jersey, the Brewers Guild of New Jersey, and the New Jersey Brewers Association, now they're all combined into one now. He was given the FX Matt Defense of the Industry Award. The award is named for the late FX Matt of FX Matt Brewing Company and is presented to an individual or company for their contributions and efforts in championing the small brewing industry. Eric, who is he is the executive vice president of the Zeta Group, which is a lobbying firm in New Jersey. He serves as the government affairs director for the Brewers Guild in New Jersey. He also sits as a board member on both the New Jersey Tourism Industry Association and the Princeton-Mercer Regional Chamber of Commerce. He has been long at the forefront of getting things done in New Jersey within the legislature to push legislation forward. Obviously, the Brewers have a lot to do with it, too. But Eric is the point man and has done such an amazing job. So kudos to Eric. This is an award that is absolutely, positively well-deserved. And he continues to serve with the Brewers Guild of New Jersey. And it is, Eric's a good guy. We've had him on the program and could not think of a more deserving person for that award. Our good friends from Trogs, right across the river in Pennsylvania, in Hershey. Field Study Summer IPA, it's the second beer in its rotating seasonal series. They put a new label on the beer. They sort of jazzed it up a little bit. It's a 6.2% ABV. Field Study appeals to both IPA fans and non-IPA drinkers alike. Citra Mosaic and El Dorado hops, notes of ripe grapefruit, juicy pear, and a hint of melon. Get it anywhere Trogs is sold. And then finally, our good friends from Esker Hart. Well, they're not our good friends yet because we haven't actually met them, so I shouldn't say that. But Esker Hart, which took over space up in, was it Hackettstown? I don't remember. I'm going to be up that way anyway next week. But anyway, Esker Hart took over, was it Raritan Brewing? I don't remember. Anyway, it's up in Hunterdon County, and they've announced an opening day for the brewery. May 4th, is the opening. They will open the tasting room up to the public. Words can't explain how excited, nervous, and grateful they are to begin the amazing journey, and simply cannot thank all of you enough for helping them get to this point. While we are confident in this date, as they say in their statement, we simply must add that this date is pending any unforeseen circumstances. More details such as tap lists, hours, merchandise, etc. will be announced closer to opening. For now, we look forward to seeing you on the 4th. Cheers, Bob and Brielle. So kudos to Esker Hart. It took a few months to get into that space, converted to what they needed to do. They're brewing beer. They're getting things moving. But it looks like May 4th, the weekend of May 4th, first weekend in May, they will be open. And that is pretty awesome. They make some really good stuff. That collab that they did with, was it Alternate Ending? Yeah, I mean, that was just a phenomenal, phenomenal beer. I mean, I can't wait for them to open. That's one of those that I have to take a trip up to check out. And by the way, I'm going to be up that way next week because I'll be in Hackettstown at Jersey Girl Brewing It's not Hackettstown. You know what? I'm sorry, Chuck. Don't kill me. I forget the town. I'm doing this off the top of my head, and I'm forgetting the town that Jersey Girl Brewing is in. Anyway, Cherry Hill. Is it Cherry Hill? I think it's Cherry Hill. No, maybe I'm wrong. Nah, I'm probably wrong. That's me. All right. Anyway, when we come back after a short break, we're going to have Chuck on the program next week for two segments. When we come back after a short break, Shawnee Adelson, the executive director of the Colorado Brewers Guild, will join me on the program. This is the Al Gattulo Craft Beercast on AM 970, The Answer. Welcome back to the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. You can follow me on Twitter at Al Gattulo, Instagram at Gattulo, GATTULLO. I know they call Twitter X. I'm always going to call it Twitter. Facebook.com/AG Craft Beer Cast. Of course, we're on iTunes. No more Google Podcasts, but we are on Good Pods. We're on Odyssey.com. We're Alexa ready. You can go on Amazon. We're on there. And we're also on the Hopped Up Network. Just head over to the hoppedupnetwork.com. You can check out the podcast version of the show Monday mornings, a couple minutes after the radio show. You can catch the podcast version of it. You can download and listen whenever you want. And my next guest, the executive director of the Colorado Brewers Guild, and Colorado Pint Day is back. The number of breweries involved is amazing. We're going to get into that and more in just a moment. To find out who's participating and what the Guild does to help breweries across the state of Colorado, just head to coloradobeer.com. Let me welcome back to the program the executive director, Shawnee Adelson. Shawnee, how are you?
I'm doing well, Al. It's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Now, the Collaboration Fest was last weekend. How was that event attended, and how did things go?
It was great. It was our probably biggest Collaboration Fest yet. You know, during an era when beer festivals maybe not attracting as many people, we had more breweries than ever with 185 breweries participating. We had over 140 different beers all collaboratively made with those breweries participating, and we sold out before the event. So it was a great event, and I've heard great things from all of the attendees and breweries that participated.
That is awesome. And, you know, it's interesting. You speak about that, about festivals and stuff, how people are reluctant to go, or maybe, you know, they're sort of, all right, well, I've done enough of them and I don't want to go. It's great to see that these events are selling out before they happen. So, listen, hey, it's one of those, you got to get tickets early, because if you don't, you may miss out. And I know there's that whole fear of missing out thing. But also, I think people are being more selective now. They know if they've been to an event before that was great, and they're getting that same experience again. I think, you know, with income being the way it is these days and inflation and all kinds of other stuff, I think sometimes people say, you know what, I'm going to spend my money on, you know, X event instead of Y event because I've gotten a better experience with the X event. But that's great to hear that the event went off so well and that it was sold out before it happened. But let's focus on Colorado Pint Day here. It's in its 9th year. Shawnee, could you have ever imagined that this event would be going on 9 years later?
Actually, no. You know, the first year we did it in 2016, it was an experiment for us. We really just wanted to see if it would be a cool idea, and we used our State of Craft Beer logo, just our branding, and it was successful enough that we decided to try it again with some different artwork the following year. And, you know, one of the things that made it so successful is that breweries are really invested in it because it draws traffic to their tasting rooms. Right. And it, attendees that go to those breweries, they get to go to their favorite brewery or try a new brewery and get a sweet glass for them to take home with them.
Now, for folks who may be traveling to Colorado and are in town on the Wednesday, April 10th, when Colorado Pint Day does take place, how does Colorado Pint Day work?
Yeah, so Colorado Pint Day is a one-day event where breweries across the state have a commemorative glass that anybody that goes to that brewery, if they buy a beer, usually there's an extra price. They get to keep the glass and take that glass home. The glass is not available at any other time throughout the year. In the last few years, we've had an art competition amongst our members that are artists, and they've submitted art, and we choose the artwork for it. So it's unique art. It's made specifically for the event. So it's become pretty cult-like status. You know, we've had the governor here attend a few years. Mm-hmm. We have a pretty large following for it.
We're talking with Shawnee Adelson. She is the executive director of the Colorado Brewers Guild. Colorado Pint Day taking place Wednesday, April 10th. And on that day, you can purchase special glasses, and $1 from each pint glass sold goes directly to help out the Brewers Guild in Colorado. ColoradoBeer.org is the website for more information. We're here on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. And speaking of that art on this year's Colorado Pint Day, it marks the third year in a row the Guild hosted, as you mentioned, the art competition among brewery members. Ryan Montgomery, a beer tender for Ramblebine Brewing Company out of Grand Junction, provided the winning design for this year. And the theme is spring skiing and pond skimming. Why was this theme chosen? And forgive me for not knowing this. What is pond skimming?
Good question, Al. At the end of ski season, a lot of the ski areas do a lot of fun celebrations. Mm-hmm. And one of those things that's a tradition is called pond skimming, where they fill up a pond area with water and you ski down the hill as fast as you can and try and ski across that pond. And it is usually a fun experiment of how you can balance. And there's usually often people that dress up in costume, and it tends to be a big celebration and part of the end of the ski season. And, you know, in Colorado, we're obviously a ski destination. Right. And so this is a big part of our culture, and we wanted to celebrate something that resonates with this time of year, which many of our ski areas are closing right this time of year, and so there's often those celebrations happening right now.
So it's akin to sort of skipping a rock across the water and watching it skip, you know, without falling into the water to get to the other side, right?
Exactly. Okay. Most people don't make it across, but it's fun.
That's awesome. Now, you have over 225 breweries taking part in this event, which is the most that you've ever had take part in this event. And the only way to get a glass, as you mentioned, is to go to a participating brewery, and they're only sold on that day. Is the goal to get every member brewery involved?
We'd love to have every member brewery involved. We also know that not every member, it fits into their business model. But, right, you know, we have over half of the state participating in this one-day event, which is probably one of the largest beer-related events in the state, honestly, and that every tasting room that's participating is doing the same thing on one day is pretty impressive. And we have breweries that are participating all across the state, from Durango to Montrose. We have breweries up in Steamboat, you know, Breckenridge, as well as obviously the Front Range, Denver, Fort Collins, Colorado Springs. So pretty much anywhere you live in the state, you should be able to access a pint day glass if you are near a brewery.
So let me see if I have this right. And we're talking with Shawnee Adelson, the executive director of the Colorado Brewers Guild. Again, Colorado Pint Day, Wednesday, April 10th. You purchase special glasses from each brewery. It's the same theme, but you can get it at any of these over 225 participating breweries. $1 of each pint glass sold goes directly to the Brewers Guild to help out Colorado brewers. ColoradoBeer.org, the website for more information on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast here on AM 970. The Answer. So you come up with the art design, the glasses are made, and then each brewery buys, you know, X amount of glasses for their brewery. Is that correct? Is that how it works? And then obviously a dollar of each glass sold goes to the brewers, to the brewery guild, and then they get to keep the rest or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be. That's essentially how it works.
Yep, that's essentially how it works. The breweries order what they need for their day. And like you said, $1 per pint goes to the Colorado Brewers Guild. It's a good fundraiser for us. And a lot of the breweries that participate say it's their busiest Wednesday of the year. We always host it on a Wednesday because we know that's usually a slower day for tasting rooms and we want to drive traffic to those breweries. So it's a win-win for everybody when you're driving traffic there as well as a fundraiser for the guild. Most breweries charge, you know, what the cost of the glass is for them. So they're really making money off of the beer they're selling. So we encourage people to go out and have a beer.
I mean, it's a great idea. In fact, it's so good, and you guys have been doing this for 9 years, that I know that New York State has done a similar thing where they design a pint glass and they want people to go to breweries. So obviously, you know, imitation obviously is the sincerest form of flattery. So what you guys have been doing for the last 9 years is working because other states are getting involved. And that is really cool. My last question, Shawnee, after Colorado Pint Day on Wednesday, April 10th, what's the next big event that's coming up for the Guild?
Our next big event is the Colorado Brewers Rendezvous, which will be in its 29th year. It's one of the longest standing beer festivals in the state, and it is held in Salida, Colorado, which is somewhat in the center of the state, a unique space, and brewers love going there. It's a destination for them for a vacation, and it's beautiful park outside. We have about 70 breweries that participate, and it's one of our most fun events.
And when does that take place again?
It'll be July 13th this year.
Nice. My guest has been Shawnee Adelson. She's the executive director of the Colorado Brewers Guild. Colorado Pint Day in its 9th year, Wednesday, April 10th. You can purchase special glasses, and $1 from each pint glass sold goes directly to the Brewers Guild. You can get the information on all the brewers that are taking part. There's over 225 of them. ColoradoBeer.org is the website for more information. Shawnee, thanks so much for joining me tonight. Very much appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Al. It was nice chatting with you.
Nice chatting with you. Up next, it's time for Suds and Duds on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. Welcome back. Final segment of the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. And, of course, as always, it is time for Suds and Duds. That's right, where I talk about all the beers that I've had over the past several weeks, and I let you know whether it's a sud or whether it is a dud. We're going to kick it off with some Lawson's Finest. The last can that I had in the fridge, the Hazy Rays, it's always a solid back-of-the-fridge find. Still holds up. Got to be 6-7 months old, but it is a... an absolutely delicious beer. And then the folks from Sam Adams sent me this really cool thing to celebrate 40 years in beer. It was a briefcase, and I mentioned this on the program, I think it was last week or the week before, when Jim Cook used to go around trying to sell Sam Adams, he'd put a couple of his beers in a suitcase along with some snacks because he'd be out all day at various bars in Boston trying to sell his beer. So they sent me a briefcase, an actual functioning briefcase, with two cans of original Sam Adams and two cans of their non-alcoholic IPA, Just the Haze, which won awards at the Great American Beer Festival. And it also contained peanuts as a snack. I mean, a really cool item. And yes, the briefcase is a functioning briefcase. It's really cool. So anyway, I cracked open a can of this Boston Lager that they put in a 16-ounce can. I've never seen a 16-ounce can of Sam Adams, I have to tell you. Everything has always been in 12-ounce with Sam Adams. Well, no, not everything, but I've never seen a Boston Lager in a 16-ounce can, let's put it that way. It's great. It's the OG. It's still fantastic. I mean, you can't go wrong with a Sam Adams. I don't care what anybody says. It's a beer that if I see it on tap somewhere, you got to have it. It's a delicious beer. Now, I mentioned this a couple segments ago. Was the Joel's Wings the... I don't know if this was with Esker Hart. I have to look at the picture. I'm trying to think. No, this was not the Esker Hart one. Okay. So Alternate Ending puts out some fantastic beers. Their bottled stouts are just amazing. And one of them that I had when we were doing the interview with my cousin Dean last week, I brought with me was Joel's Wings. I should have bought another bottle of this. This is a fantastic beer. Banana, more banana, vanilla, aged on wood, bourbon, ridiculous. Velvety smooth. Yeah, that's it. Anyway, shared this with everybody at my cousin's house, and what a delicious beer. I mean, I probably should have bought another bottle. I mean, at a 375 milliliter. I don't know if this is one that I would have cracked by myself and drank it. Maybe if it was the only thing I was drinking for the evening, I would do that, and I know I'm not going to drive because this packed a punch. I think this was like 13 or 14%. Delicious beer. Fantastic. Good stuff. One that still had a lot of flavor. Not as strong, though, with the chocolate. Bruck's Royale Belgian Chocolate Stout by Ross Brewing. They've won awards for this beer. It's a great beer. It was a couple of years old sitting in my fridge. I decided to bring it to my cousins and crack it open because I want to start, you want to start opening these things, start drinking them. Like I said, still had great flavor. The chocolate was still there. Not as strong, but very, very good still, almost 3 years later. Excellent beer. And then, as I mentioned, I was at the Six Point beer pub, you want to call it, at Brookfield Place. What a fantastic spot. Really, like I said, food is top-notch. The beer selection is great. They do have mixed cocktails there as well. It's all New York spirits. Most of it is from Southern Tier. I started off with the Encantadora. Solid Mexican lager. Goes great with a burger. Perfect warm weather beer. They have a beer garden outside. Definitely one of those you want to just sit out there. You're watching the traffic go by. You could see the Freedom Tower, the World Trade Center. Just a delicious beer. Then I went to the Victory Classic, an on-point lager, while I was there. I only had two beers while I was there. Obviously, I had to drive, so I didn't want to, overindulge, and then I have to drive. But great place. And what's cool, you can buy beer to take home. You can do singles. You can do 6-packs, 12-packs, however you want to do it. Just a really, really cool spot. They have merchandise there as well. Definitely a place you want to check out. And you can stop in and have something to eat. Big place, too. Once they have their beer garden open, which should be any day now, they're going to have the beer garden open. And what's great is that they can fit over 200 people. So if it's busy, you might have to wait a few minutes for a table, but you probably won't have to wait too long. And we'll leave it at that. So some of the beers I did take home. Alpenflow, the Helles Lager from Six Point. Solid beer. Really spot on. Went down fantastic. Then I had the Little Shucker by Six Point. This is a Kolsch, hoppy Kolsch. Nice beer, smooth. Didn't get too much hop in it, but a really, really nice beer nonetheless. And then Hellcat, which was one of the beers from BrewDog that I had sitting in the fridge. This is their Iron Maiden beer, and I love Iron Maiden. So, if they're making a beer on it, I'm in. The beer is pretty good, too. It was a cold IPA. One of the better ones that I've had from BrewDog, I must admit. And then my company had given us a bonus day off for the month of March. It was for Employee Appreciation Day or whatever. And so I was trying to figure out, what am I going to do with this bonus day? When am I going to take it? So we got Good Friday for the holiday. So I took the day before off. Made it a long weekend. Smart. One of the beers that I picked up from Six Point was a stout, a bourbon barrel-aged stout. At around somewhere around 13%, 12-13%, maybe a little bit more. Master Blend by Six Point. So I said, what am I going to do? Am I just going to sit home and have a couple of beers and then finish it off with the stout? Nah. I decided, it's been a while since I've actually had a cigar indoors at a cigar shop. And to be honest with you, there's a couple places by me that I've yet to go to. And one of them happens to be this place in Rahway. It's called Sticks Cigars. And a really nice spot. They have two locations. One is in Rahway. The other one is in Somerville. And I think the Somerville one is a little bit bigger. The Rahway one is small, but they have an outdoor You go out back, they have heated lamps. You can go out there in the wintertime. But the indoor space is really, really nice. Classy. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they want you to dress up a little bit. Collared shirts, you know, nice pants, shoes, you know, the whole thing. They like to jazz it up a little bit, and it's great. Now, it's bring your own beer. You can bring your own cigars, but I think, if I'm not mistaken, you have to buy one cigar from them. Whether you smoke it there or not, doesn't matter, but you need to buy one. And then you can, obviously, you can bring your own and smoke. I was going to bring one of my own, but I decided I was only going to have one cigar. Let me tell you something. This was fantastic. I didn't even know what cigar I got. The woman there was very nice, picked out a great cigar for me. I was looking for something mild to the medium side, something that I could savor for 2 hours while having the stout, which, by the way, this Master Blend Bourbon Barrel Aged Stout, fantastic. It absolutely paired perfectly with my cigar, and it was perfect for my day off from work. It was delicious. I probably let that beer sit with me while I was smoking the cigar for 2 hours and drank it over the course of 2 hours to let it warm up and really capture a lot of that bourbon flavor. Just an awesome, awesome beer. The cigar was great. I wish I had saved the wrapper. I should have, and I didn't. But let me tell you something. This place was great. I can't wait to go back there. It's not something I would do all the time. I just don't have the time for it. Not that the place was bad or anything. It wasn't. It was absolutely phenomenal. Reasonably priced with the cigar and you know, everything. It was great. I think it was $30. It was less than $30. And I threw a big tip in, too. But it was less than $30 for the cigar and, you know, and the ambiance, everything. It was just a nice time to be able to sit and relax and not really think about anything and just sort of unwind. Like, my son didn't understand why I was doing this, and I've smoked cigars in the backyard and had some music on and just kind of lost myself in thought. But to be at a cigar-specific place where you can sit, and if you want to converse with people, you can, and if you don't, you don't have to. That's the nice part about it. There were a few people in there in the middle of the day, and it was raining, but it was just a nice environment to sit and relax and enjoy a cigar and not have to worry about anything and sip my beer and just unwind. It was very relaxing, I have to tell you. And then I think I got a massage after that, if I'm not mistaken. Pretty sure I did. Yeah, so, I mean, it was just, no, I didn't. But it was, that would have been like the capper, you know, just have that and then go for a massage. That would have been very nice. But the cigar was fantastic. The place is great. Kudos to the owner. Met the owner for a brief moment when he came in, shook everybody's hand. And just a really, really sweet spot right in Rahway, New Jersey, literally down the block from Wet Ticket. It was great. I really enjoyed myself. And I enjoyed the beer, Master Blend by Six Point, a great 12-ounce canned stout. Fantastic. Now, that's the end of the show, folks. My thanks to everybody involved, as well as my guest, Shawnee Adelson, the executive director of the Colorado Brewers Guild. By the way, Colorado Pint Day this Wednesday. Make sure you go. $1 of every pint glass that you buy goes directly to the Colorado Brewers Guild, which is pretty awesome. And, of course, last but not least, the great Buddy Watson. Back live on the Joe Piscopo Show Monday at 6 a.m. This is the Al Catullo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. Cheers, everybody.